listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Always good to be here, RJ, on the final football Monday of the 2018-2019 season here on Straight Outta Vegas. And we start off in the NFL Super Bowl 53. The Pats beat the Rams 13-3 on Sunday night. A sixth Super Bowl championship for New England in the lowest scoring Super Bowl of our time. RJ, your main takeaway from the Super Bowl is different than anything else I've heard. Please explain.
Yeah, I feel strongly about this one, too. And everyone, be honest. It's going to be something probably you're at fault. You're going to listen and probably have two reactions, possibly. One is, wow, RJ's right. That's going to be the smart one. Or it will be, man, not me. That ain't me. And here's what it is. We as fans do not understand what results in what's required to win at football. We think about it, the NFL, like a fantasy league. How cool is the quarterback? Does the coach have a six-pack? Or even does the coach have sleeves? That might not be sexy, but it's kind of football sexy to think, oh, the hoodie. And also, how hot is the wife of the quarterback? And a lot of these factors, what kind of end zone dance? How cool is Instagram? A lot of these factors that I get it as a culture, it's interesting. And if you tell me, listen, RJ, I don't bet. And half of our listeners don't even bet. I don't bet. I don't really care who wins. I want to have fun. Like I watch the Kardashians, someone may say, to have fun. I'm going to follow football the same way. I'd be like, hey, salute, more power to you. But most of you aren't going to admit to that. Most bettors, especially, are not going to admit to that. So now the question becomes, what does it take to really win? And I think the Super Bowl was the best example we ever saw that what it takes to win is very different than what we think it takes to win, because what we think is more enjoyable. It's more fun to follow. And here's what I'm going to pose. The following question. Imagine a blind resume like they do in the NCAA tournament. It's just the players and their pedigree, their stats. And if you look at the Patriots and you say, we got a 41-year-old quarterback. We haven't seen a quarterback that age perform at an elite level for a long, long time. We've got, well, what else do we have? We have this slot possession receiver that seems pretty good. And we got this cornerback that Pro Football Focus says is pretty good, though I don't quite understand what Pro Football Focus, how they calibrate that stuff and calculate it, but I'll trust him. He's pretty good. And a tight end, man, this guy used to be good, but boy, he must be hurt or something. What else? Oh, and we've got a great coach, but he's getting up there. He's about 70. He doesn't have a six-pack abs, and he doesn't drink six packs of beer, probably. So we can't relate. What else? Fezzik, Brad, Jonas. If you were doing a blind resume and say, no, maybe some of the listeners would miss it, but I wouldn't. Here's what would tell me just how good the Patriots were and are. Anything? I don't think so. They're all shaking their head on the radio. So that means no. Fez, what could it even be?
That roster, RJ, the Patriots have, it's mediocre.
Well, no. See, I'll disagree with that. I think the O-line has played wonderfully well. It's just that's something we don't think all that much about.
It's a great point.
Unless there's a big name, right? When they let their left tackle go to the Giants, that was going to be a big problem. But then when the line plays better, it's not much of a conversation. The D-line played pretty well. All right, but we don't really, we know that Hightower's name because he was with Alabama. But what we hear more often, quite frankly, is, oh, Hightower's too slow to cover backs. When I heard people talk about Hightower this 2-week lead up to the game, more than half of it was negative. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
All right. So I think what we're saying is that we don't understand it. And even someone as expert, and I say this sincerely, expert is Colin Cowherd when it comes to football. He knows football. I've talked to Colin hundreds of hours about football over the years. Half on air, half off air, probably is fair to say. And he knows football. He went on the radio, what was it, maybe November 15th, I'm thinking. Well, it was right after Josh Gordon left the team and said, that's it, the dynasty's dead. He didn't have them in his top 10, even with knowing it's Brady and Belichick. And that's the thing. That's what obscures, I think, how much we're missing, what we're missing. To what degree we just don't get it as fans, what wins at football, because we've said, oh, yeah, but Belichick will figure something out. Don't count out Brady. We all got that. I mean, we've been trained to not count those guys out. If we didn't have that, we would have looked at this team and shrugged our shoulders like last year's Vikings or something. Wouldn't have meant nothing to us. And if they won, we would have said, OMG, that's a shocker. Ah, it was a fluke. Fez.
I think you brought up a great point in terms of the O-line and the protection for Brady. Let's think about the playoffs. Chargers, Bosa and Ingram, really good pass rushers. Can't sack Brady once. Kansas City.
Big names, though, by the way.
Big,
high draft choices.
Big, sexy
and when they're,
names.
And when their hamstrings are hurt, every week we're getting an update.
Exactly. And then they go to Kansas City. What's the one thing the KC defense is very good at? Getting after the quarterback. Again, they can't get to Brady, and he doesn't get sacked. And then in the Super Bowl, Brady only gets sacked once against the Rams. And think about how important this is. 41-year-old Brady, if he's getting hit, if he's getting sacked, he's likely not going to hold up and play as well.
It's one example, a key example, Fez, of the factors that make the Patriots the champions this year, that made them the champions, that we just don't talk much about. And I get it. On the radio, on the television, remember in The Shining? He goes, it must be true. He saw it on the television. On the television, it can't be boring. But if you're going to bet this especially, or if you want to know more than your buddies, which the non-bettors do who listen to this show, by the way, straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell, talking about how the Pats instruct us about our ignorance of football. Yes, ignorance. I think it's important to try to move in that direction. Understand, we might enjoy watching something on television about the new fast wide receiver of Team X, but if you want to be honest, if you want to be accurate about what wins in the NFL, look to and study this Patriots team. You can have fun as a recreational pursuit, as a fan of football, but if you want to act like you know something, you got to know more than dismissing the Patriots, because clearly dismissing the Patriots was wrong.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Guys, the biggest mystery in Super Bowl 53 leading up into it. We talked about it at Radio Row in Atlanta all week long. What the hell is wrong with Todd Gurley? He enters Super Bowl 53, 10 carries, 35 yards when it's all said and done. And he spoke about his own health and status after the game.
I'm fine. I'm completely fine. Did an MRI after the Philly game. I'm fine. So I'm just, you know, happy to be able to be healthy to finish out the season. I know it's been a lot of concerns about my health and stuff, but I really am fine, though.
Wow. So lots of concerns about my health. I took an MRI after the Philly game. Now, the Philly game was what, 6-8 weeks ago? That was the one where they were 13-point favorites on Sunday night, right?
Yeah, yeah, back week 15.
Okay. And he sat out the next two games.
So he was fine after it, but sat out two games. Wow. And then he says, I know there's been lots of concerns about my health, which means, okay, that's interesting, but you're not on the injury report. So listen, guys, there is no rhyme or reason to this. The only question we have left, is this going to be an issue? Because the NFL doesn't want it to be an issue. They want to forget about it. Remember when LeBron came out with a cast after he lost the finals? You never saw a cast before, never saw it again. I think he was skydiving or something like 3 days later. I'm not sure about that. But he was doing something very physical 3 days later. Do you remember, Jonas?
Yeah. It was something like that. I think it was jumping off a cliff or something like that.
I mean, seriously, yeah, it was something pretty intense. But everyone kind of forgot about it, right? Like, it's like, wait a minute. It's like the guy that gets burnt in flag football when you're like 8 and he comes up limping, right? But he's not limping a minute later, right? So somehow the NFL hopes we forget that Gurley can't be right. And Brad, you actually had some film guys you listened to that said he wasn't right.
No, what they've seen from Gurley, at least the last couple of games, is, you know, top end speed looked fine for Gurley, but when it comes to lateral movement, side to side, getting around the edge, just didn't look like the same player he was earlier in the season.
And his average number of carries in the regular season, Fez, over 20, right?
Yeah, he was right around 18 to 19 back in November.
Oftentimes those weren't competitive games. In competitive game where they're putting in the backup because they're winning by so much.
Exactly.
So probably at least 20 you'd expect in a competitive game.
Sure.
And he had 4 against the Saints and half as much, 10, in the Super Bowl.
And only but one catch, RJ.
But nothing's wrong. Nothing to see here. Come on. I'll say it one more time. There's millions in the Super Bowl. There's billions of dollars being bet. The NFL is making an agreement with us. They are telling us it's obligatory. It's mandatory for the teams to tell you the truth on injuries. They'd have every right to say, we're not going to tell you. We don't give a care. They can say that. But then that's a different story. They're saying, we're telling you the truth. But now I'm going to bet upon that truth. If I had bet big money on Gurley over, and then I file, not me, because I'm not litigious unless absolutely necessary. There's a great line on Billions again where he goes, it was the Russian mobster. He goes, I have lawyers read the contract. They don't enforce the contract. That was kind of scary. I'm not one for lawsuits unless it's necessary. But imagine if someone else said, well, wait a minute, they're lying to me. And I'm betting on that information. Boy, now what do? You get Gurley up on the stand. You get the trainer up on the stand, class action style. What are they? They're going to perjure themselves? Because I tell you this, the best bet of the week would be that there has been true internal injury concerns about Gurley. Would you make a major bet on that, Fez?
There has to be something going on, RJ.
I don't know about has to be, but it's well over 80%.
Sure.
So the idea that they're playing us for a fool and thinking there's no consequence, luckily, Straight Out of Vegas listeners, we've been calling them out all week down on Radio Row. I don't care if Goodell's walking by or not. I'm saying it. I don't give a care. So to me, I think this is bad. I think this probably gets forgotten. But put it in your back pocket. We're going to see a class action lawsuit like this within the next couple years.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.